But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we search the Scriptures, we come across many descriptions of Jesus. And many of these descriptions should strike fear in the hearts of his enemies. We can begin in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, where Jesus is described as the seed or offspring of the woman who will bruise, or better, crush the head of the serpent. Jesus is described in Psalm 2 as the Lord's anointed, the Son of God, whom we are to kiss and swear allegiance, lest he be angry and we all perish, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Then in the visions of Daniel, he is described as the Son of Man who comes before the Ancient of Days, and he was given everlasting dominion, glory, and an everlasting kingdom. This vision would be completely interpreted for us in John's vision in Revelation when he was on the island of Patmos and was translated, so to speak, into Christ's presence. And there he describes Jesus in this way. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And what was John's reaction? He said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." But that's one of the greatest words in the Bible. It says, "But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades.'" Although there are many descriptions of Jesus like this in the Scriptures, a good question to ask is, has Jesus ever described himself and his own character? He revealed himself to be God for sure, but has he ever described his own heart for the believer's comfort? As we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of Christ and his work within us, we understand that Christ bore this fruit perfectly. He bore the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know that he not only bore this fruit, but he is also to be identified with this fruit because he is God. But has he ever described this fruit in his own life? Has he ever pointed it out? He has described the love that he shared with his Father. He has said that he would grant us peace. He has said that he is the good shepherd, and he demonstrated that he was faithful to this mission to seek and to save the lost sheep. But when has he ever described the nature of his own heart and character? Well, I know of one place, and it is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, where he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This self-description of Jesus ought to bring comfort to those who thirst after righteousness, those who are heavy laden because of sin and who have turned to Jesus by faith. And beloved, this promise found in Matthew 11 still stands for you today. This promise was actually foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. It says this, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." In his own self-description and in this prophecy of Isaiah, the Lord Jesus is described as being gentle. Today in our culture, gentleness is oftentimes repudiated or mocked. A common misconception is that gentleness is a characteristic reserved only for women and that men cannot be gentle. It's just not in our nature. All because gentleness is often mistaken for weakness or being a pushover or allowing people to walk all over you. Gentleness is despised and disregarded in most political arenas and debates. If you're a gentle person, you will not be taken seriously. But beloved, gentleness is listed here as a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, to be found in all Christians, whether male or female. And gentleness is not to be confused with weakness, but as Paul told the Romans, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Alistair Begg defines gentleness as strength under control. So gentleness is to use the strength and power that God gave us to strengthen the weak, encourage and lift up the downcast, help the needy, protect the most vulnerable, and build up those who have been torn down. Gentleness is to use our power properly and not to misuse it to destroy the weak, the helpless, and the needy. Jesus said that he was lowly in heart, meaning he wasn't haughty or arrogant, and he associated with the lowly. The dictionary definition of gentleness is being kind, tender, mild-mannered, with softness of action or effect. So gentleness is a social characteristic. It has to do with how we treat others. An example is the way that God is gentle with his people. Psalm 103, describing God dealing with his people, says this: he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. So gentleness is to know the fragility, the weakness of man, and to handle him accordingly. It is to handle other human sinners with care and compassion. Just like boxes we receive in the mail that are labeled fragile, handle with care. We ought to imagine every human being with that same label written across their chest. And not in a demeaning or condescending way, like, oh, he's a poor little weakling. We have to deal with him gently. No, because you are the weakling as well. So it's to handle everyone with that sign, fragile, handle with care. This is why Jesus told sinners to come to him. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we are helpless and fragile. He knows that we are burdened and heavy laden because of sin, and we easily break under pressure. Yet he still calls us to come to him. So when we think of gentleness, we must first think of Jesus. Jesus is gentle, and this will be our first consideration. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42, he described the gentleness of our Savior, which Matthew would quote in Matthew chapter 12, which says, "And many followed him," that is Jesus, "and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known." This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." What this prophecy says is that if you're already down and broken, Jesus doesn't come around to step on you. If you're faint-hearted and lacking faith, your faith is no longer a flame, but just a puff of smoke rising from a blown-out match. He won't just put you out in a cup of water. He's not a bully. He doesn't come with harsh words if you're already hurting. He doesn't turn away those who come to Him or those who need Him. He doesn't ridicule or shame the weak. In fact, He came for the weak. He didn't quarrel or cry aloud, making His voice heard in the streets. He wasn't a loudmouth or a show-off, something that many of our leaders should learn from, and we should learn from as well. He didn't come riding into Jerusalem in a parade of chariots. Rather, He came as a humble. Another translation for humble is gentle. He came as a gentle king mounted on a donkey. He didn't insist on His own way. Rather, He came to do His Father's will, to seek and to save His Father's children in a way that was considerate of our fallen condition. In other words, He came down to our level. He came to meet us where we are. He didn't come to break us or quench our spirits. Remember Philippians chapter 2. Though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself. He humbled Himself by taking the form of a servant. He took on flesh to sympathize with our weakness. So this makes Jesus the most understanding person in world history. He is always approachable. He said, "Come to me." He is always accessible and available to sinners such as ourselves. He listens and understands everything that we're going through. He understands every temptation. He understands every point of your suffering. He hears every cry. And He didn't come to push us over the edge. He doesn't treat us the way the world treats us. Rather, He said, "I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke is the wooden neck brace that you would place on an oxen to keep the plows lined up straight as it plows the field. Now, they're usually pretty massive and really heavy. But Jesus said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, unlike the burden of sin. The burden of sin in our lives ought to be the heaviest burden we bear. Sin will crush us and destroy us, but Jesus came to remove that burden of sin from us. In a culture that so emphasizes strength and pride and believes that using excessive force is the only way to get things done, we must fight fire with fire, here comes a gentle Savior with a gentle word for His torn down and beaten up people, who is also the victim of the cruelty of this world as He bore our sins, violently nailed to a cross. No wonder He stirred the pot. No wonder He went against the grain of society. Imagine if the Church Universal was still faithful to this message today. Now, what ought to be our response to the gentleness of Jesus? Our response ought to be twofold. First, we are to learn from Jesus. And secondly, we are to listen to His call to come to Him. So first, let us learn from Jesus. Remember, He said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Gentleness does not come easy to any one of us because gentleness requires us to be considerate of others. But we are naturally selfish people, and we're prone to anger when we don't get what we want. And anger and rage are the opposites of gentleness. Anger is a work of the flesh. How often do you find yourself apologizing to your spouse, your parents, your friends, your children? I'm sorry for the way I reacted. I shouldn't have been that angry. I should have been more gentle. See, gentleness means that you are approachable, accessible, and available to everyone who comes to you. This is what Paul meant when he said, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." When you're gentle, people feel that they can approach you because they know that you will not react harshly when they come to you with a problem or a sin that they may have committed. This is not to diminish nor take away the fear of God. In fact, most people will approach you because that fear of God exists and they have been consumed by it. And we are called to respond to their fears with gentleness. We are to utter the words of Jesus, "Fear not." Why did John fall as though he was dead if it wasn't for his own sin and his own failings and his own frailty? But Jesus said, "Fear not." Now, gentleness does not mean we become totally passive or that we live life in a constant state of hypnosis, never reacting to anything that is going on around us. Gentleness doesn't mean you never get angry. Paul said to the Corinthians that the kingdom of God does not come in arrogant talk or by human force, but it comes by power. And that power is expressed in gentleness. He said to them, "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" See, gentleness is a good balance between anger and being passive throughout life, going with the flow, not letting anything bother you. And gentleness must be in place to control our anger. In fact, gentleness is the proper response to what or should make us angry. Paul, who experienced the Lord's compassion, who was shown mercy and gentleness from the Lord after he was a blasphemer and a persecutor of God's people, who had never shown gentleness to Christians before Christ appeared to him, said to us throughout his letters that we are to show gentleness to others. When he told the Ephesians to walk in a manner worthy of their calling, it was to walk humbly and gently, patiently bearing with one another in love. Later in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul would tell them, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Then he adds this, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." So part of gentleness is to be self-aware. It is to have a sense of our own sin. As Christians, we never get what we deserve from the hands of God. We are debtors to mercy alone. And we deserve, just as much as the next guy, to receive the anger of God. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the gentleness of the Lord. In his anger, we should have been spoken out of existence a long time ago. So whenever we seek to correct or restore others, it ought to be from a spirit of gentleness, with a careful eye on ourselves and our own sin. We will never be gentle if we don't take our own personal sin more seriously than the sins of others. Not that we ignore other people's sins, but if we don't take our own personal sin more seriously than the sins of others, we will never become gentle. We will never be gentle if we think that we are better than other people. So we are to keep a careful eye on ourselves, but also gentleness is to be considerate of others. Remember the fragile sign posted on everyone. Jesus was truthful in his speech, but he was also considerate of the fact that we are dust, that we are fragile. There is only so much that we can bear before we fold under pressure. And this requires sensitivity, which is something else that is often mocked and ridiculed in our culture. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away." He didn't want to have to be bold with them face to face. He wanted to be humble. Isn't that the opposite of what the world teaches us? They teach, "Hey, don't hide behind your laptop. You were bold in that email. I want you to try saying that to my face." but to be gentle. It's to be sensitive to how the other party will receive your message, your body language, and your tone of voice. So in our daily dealings with others, are we aware of what we say and how we come across? Or have we adopted the ways of the world? I don't care what other people think. This is how I am. This attitude in itself is a hindrance to gentleness. But this is where we get the idea of genteel manners from. We teach children manners, not so much for ourselves, but in consideration of other people. You will never become gentle if you're not aware, considerate, or sensitive to how other people think or feel, especially in times of distress, or even when they point out a character flaw or sin in you. You'll never become gentle if you can't take just criticism. Not all criticism. Some people just love to criticize. But if you can't take just criticism, you'll never become gentle. Like, hey, he may have a point. But again, being gentle doesn't mean you're weak or that you compromise. Paul said this to the Thessalonians, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." Gentleness requires being considerate of others, especially those who are weak. Yet gentleness does not mean that you're passive or silent about the truth of God. Paul wrote to Timothy about how the servants of the Lord are to correct their doctrinal opponents with gentleness. Why? Because God may perhaps grant them repentance. So since we know the mercy and gentleness of Christ, we too ought to be gentle with others. The Lord responds to our sin with gentleness over and over and over again, every day of the week. So we too ought to respond to those who have sinned against us with gentleness over and over and over again. But how do we normally respond when someone hurts us or when we are frustrated with others? Do we respond with gentleness? I think we must all confess our lack in this area. And so for the sinner, let us not only learn from Jesus, but let us also go to Jesus. Let us also go to Jesus. Because before he said, "Learn from me," he said, "Come to me and take my yoke upon you." And he is not just speaking to those who have had a hard life, but also those who have been harsh in their dealings with others. Those who have lived angry lives. Those whom you would call bullies, who have sensed their lack of gentleness and desire to be relieved of this burden. Because the gentleness of Jesus ought to be revealing. It ought to expose how much we have not been gentle. And we are to allow the Lord to search our hearts through his word to expose the areas that we need to grow in. How do we respond to this? How do we match up to the gentleness of Jesus? How often have we been loud and angry in our responses to others? Whether it's to our spouses, to our children, to our parents, to our friends, to members of the church. And have we been approachable, accessible, and available? When people approach us about a problem or trouble, do we just roll our eyes like, "Oh no, here we go again"? Do we respond with a quick temper, with insensitivity? Are we overly demanding? Are we inflexible in our dealings with others? Are we tough on others while not so tough on ourselves? Are we strict with others while not so strict with ourselves? And have we ever lightened the burden of others? Or have we made their burden heavier with sharp and crude remarks, digging their face deeper into the mud of sin, so to speak, without the gentle call of Jesus Christ? Then this call is for you as much as it is for anyone else. I believe we all fall under these categories. Because the gentleness of Jesus will only extend to those who come to him, humbly recognizing their own weight of sin and how much they need to be relieved of this burden. how much you need the gentleness of our Savior. So come to Him. He knows that you're easily angered. He knows that you can be malicious or callous. He knows that you can be harsh with your words. He knows when you have been inconsiderate or unreasonable. He knows when you have been too rigid or strict. He knows that you lack gentleness, especially when you're going through suffering. In fact, He uses suffering for self-reflection so that we could become more gentle. He knows that you are burdened with sin. And if He were to leave you in sin, you would be destroyed by it and because of it. But Jesus won't leave you in it. He knows that you're a bruised reed and a faintly burning wick. He will not break the bruised reed. Rather, He will restore you to a firm tree planted by the water that produces fruit in its season. He will not quench the faintly burning wick, but He will fan that flame of faith within you once again. He welcomes the one who is heavy laden, and He will conform you to Himself, for He promised this. He will teach you His way, and so learn the way of gentleness. Even now from heaven, from His throne where He sits as King, He is still your gentle Savior, willing and ready to welcome you. And He will grant you the Holy Spirit, your holy helper, when you sense that you are about to lose your grip. Because even though He is in heaven right now, He still summons you to come to Him. His heart has never changed for the believer. You are not without help, and He still summons us to come to Him, for He is gentle and lowly in heart, even now as He sits on His throne. So please come to Him today if you don't know Him. And may we submit to the Lord and become gentle servants of God. Amen.